Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game Friday. Hawks get a rare breather here. They do not play tonight. They lost last night to Indiana. And came roaring back in the fourth quarter and just came up a little bit short. But they don't play tonight, Hugh. The Hawks don't play Saturday. They don't play Sunday. Normally, in a normal, regular old NBA year, it was mandatory. Everybody had to play a game either Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And the Hawks get all three off right here before the final week of the regular season. So, yeah, a little rest. And that's a good thing, I think, right now. They will be back in action. Four games to go next week, State Farm Arena, back-to-back against Washington, Orlando, and Houston. The final four games, one game ahead of Boston and Miami in the race to try and stay in the top six. We thought we'd reach out this morning to one of our NBA experts, one of the guys we like, has been on the program before, Sean Devaney, who is Forbes and Heavy.com, who is an NBA guy and can kind of help us fill in some of the blanks around the Hawks and the race for the NBA title. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good morning, Sean. Good morning. Sean, with everything that the Hawks have been through, you know, with all the injuries and everything, are you surprised that they're fighting for a fourth seed?
No, look, everybody's had injuries this year. You know, it's been tough all around. I think Boston and Miami would say, much the same thing. The teams that have been the best have been, especially more in the Western Conference, the Eastern Conference, pretty much everybody's been dealing with. You know, you look at the Nets, what they've gone through, the Sixers, what they've gone through. Everybody's had injuries. I always thought the Hawks were, just a step down from the top three, that they'd be in the mix for four, five, six. So when you factor in the fact that everybody's had the injuries and that's been across the Eastern Conference, they're about where I figured they would be. Mm-hmm. Probably the Knicks are only the real surprise to be at number four. And just to go back to the injury point, they haven't had to deal with many, big time injuries. I think that's a big reason in terms of why why the Knicks are where they are. So it's kind of been a battle of attrition. You just mentioned the days off that the Hawks have. That's been a rare thing throughout this season for any team. So it's been a little bit of a battle of attrition. And I think that once you even all that stuff out, the Hawks battling for number four is where I would have had them to start the year, given what they did in the offseason.
NBA columnist Sean Devaney is on the WadeFord.com hotline talking about the Hawks, talking about the NBA. As you break it down, by the way, nobody here in Atlanta, as excited as we are about the Hawks and their future, is probably going to argue. We see that there's been a ceiling so far this year. It doesn't mean we're not going to root for them to go as far as we can, but the ceiling is that there's a big three in Milwaukee and Philadelphia and Brooklyn. How do you handicap those three at the top of the East? Who's actually the team to beat, Sean?
Well, I think it's Brooklyn. I mean, just from the sheer talent perspective, nobody's got Durant, Harden, and Kyrie Irving, you know, where Kyrie Irving is your third option. Now, having said that, the fact that Kyrie Irving is your third option could prove to be a pretty big problem for them. You know, if they get into the playoffs and Kyrie's looking and he's getting 12 shots rather than 19, you know, that's where you might wind up with a bit of a problem. You don't know that these guys are going to be willing to sacrifice. They haven't been healthy together. All three of those guys have only played a handful of games. I think it's 7 games since the trade in mid-January. So, you know, the Nets on paper, I think you'd have to have them as the number one. We don't know what the chemistry is going to look like because we just haven't seen it this year yet. And really, they're going to test it in the playoffs, which is, you know, that's a risky thing. But I'd have to have them number one. I think Philly is right behind them. I thought they probably should have made a trade at the trade deadline. Other than the George, you know, George Hill's a nice addition. I thought if there was a chance to get Kyle Lowry there, that they should have done it. They didn't want to give up the young pieces, and Toronto was asking a lot. So I can understand why they didn't want to. But if they want to win one right now, then they need another player. And they didn't make that deal. But I still have them number two, and then Milwaukee sitting at number three. And Milwaukee's played deceptively well in the last couple of weeks here. So, you know, Milwaukee's kind of the dark horse around the stretch run here.
Speaking of dark horse, Coach McMillan, do you think he's getting enough respect when it comes to serious consideration for Coach of the Year?
No, I mean he's not. You know, there's a lot of guys who are going to be in that mix. You know, Tom Thibodeau certainly with the Knicks would be in there. You know, given what was expected of them. You know, out west you'll have Quinn Snyder. Certainly, Monty Williams will get a lot of consideration. But no, I mean, you know, I think when you take over late in the year, despite the obvious change in that team once Nate took over, you know, when you take over late in the year, it's tough to get really the acceptance as a potential candidate for Coach of the Year. Now, it's also a difficult job, you know, taking over midseason and setting things in a way that what we've seen from Atlanta, you know, just the way their defense has changed, certainly the way the players have played for Nate has been much different. So he should get more recognition, but I'd be surprised honestly if he winds up in the top three. Mm.
Sean Devaney, NBA columnist for Forbes and Heavy.com, giving us some of his thoughts. Back to the Hawks here for a moment. Sean, you know, obviously I've seen this you know, franchise for a long time. This is the best position, and I mentioned this, I think, even yesterday to you and to some of the younger fans, that I've seen this franchise be in since the early to mid-'80s when Ted Turner owned the team. Mm-hmm. In terms of ownership and head coach, when you had guys like, you know, Mike Fratello, and from a management standpoint, where you had Stan Kasten, and now, of course, you have Travis Schlenk. From a top-down, from a facility standpoint with State Farm Arena, from a young stars standpoint and a base to build with, you know, this is the first time I think, Sean, that the Atlanta Hawks have actually been in a position where you would have whatever the megastar is, you know, starting, hey, maybe Atlanta's an option. It's always been kind of that kind of joke, oh, Atlanta's where your side piece is, not where your job is. Is Atlanta going to become an option for a superstar in the not-too-distant future?
Yeah, you know, I think that's ultimately going to be the test. They've got, like you say, they've got everything lined up in terms of, you know, young players that other guys would want to play with, in terms of the potential to make a trade. I mean, they've signed some pretty good contracts. I mean, you can look at Bogdanovich, for instance, and say, you know, he's had trouble staying healthy and all that. But, you know, at $18 million a year, there's a lot of teams that would take him. And that's ultimately what's going to get them a superstar, I think, is you know, the ability to make a trade where you're going to bring somebody in. They're going to see the culture. They're going to see what it's like playing with Trey, and see that you know, that this is an up and coming team, and then you sign him after that. You know what I mean? So it might still be tough to attract free agents, and certainly you need a ton of cap space to do that. But what you can do is trade for somebody, convince them that this is something that that you want to stick around for, and then sign him. You know, if he's in his last year of the deal, then you sign him the following summer, something like that. I think that's where Atlanta is, and is that they've got a lot of very tradable contracts, attractive pieces. So I think if Bradley Beal or somebody like that comes onto the market, I think the Hawks get involved, and they can realistically get involved and really be a player in that. Not only can they make the trade, but then they have to think that they've got the young pieces to convince a guy like that. And I'm just using him as an example, but convince a guy like that to stay by signing a long-term extension after that.
You know, Julius Randle against the Hawks in the last three games has averaged 37.3 points, 12.3 rebounds, and 6.7 assists. What has he changed in his game? Because he's giving the Hawks fits right now.
Yeah, some of it's just pure confidence. You know, I think he's always had this in him, but he's sort of been bounced around and playing on short contracts. He's not sure about his future. I think he's kind of let all that go. I think that's been an important part of it. The Knicks have made him very, very comfortable. They brought in a coach from Kentucky, Kenny Payne. Who's worked with a lot of Kentucky guys over the years, and Randall's been one of those. So, I think that part of it is the organization has put him in a position to succeed. But you have to. I mean, there's just a confidence level. There's an aggression to his moves. You know, he has a lot more confidence in sort of his first move, and then the rest of his game can flow from there. I think he was very, very hesitant before. You know, he saw himself more as a rebounder, and if I get the ball, I got to get it up quick. He doesn't really do that anymore. I think he's matured both mentally and physically. I think that's really had a lot to do with it. But I think part of it, you got to give the Knicks as an organization credit for, like I say, just making him comfortable and having him not put as much pressure on himself as he had been before.
Well, let's just hope he's not that comfortable in the playoffs and the Hawks can beat him. That'd be a good thing. Uh-huh. Yeah. Sean, I do appreciate it. Thanks much for your insight. We'll be talking to you.
You're the man. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
Sean Devaney, NBA expert on the WadeFord.com hotline. Wade Ford is Atlanta's Ford dealer. All right, when we get back in a moment, some of the NFL headlines around the league, and we'll get into our discussion in this hour about Aaron Rodgers, because I know a lot of people are jumping into the to the text line to talk about it at 929 the game, maybe on the text line, but certainly on the Twitter, I should say, about the future and legacy and what's going to happen here with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. All I have with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 929 the game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. You want to talk Braves? We will. Every day, Monday through Friday at 5:40, we go around the yard with the Braves right here on Dukes and Bell.
We now know when the Falcons are going to work out, at least we think. Maybe, I don't know, sort of. Woo-hoo. They put their schedule out yesterday. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. NFL headlines brought to you by Cool Ray Heating and Cooling's Lifetime Parts and Labor Warranty. Falcons offseason schedule came out in terms of their workouts. You, rookie minicamp coming up, the OTAs, and mandatory camp. Now, that's not training camp. That's in late July. The Falcons will announce those dates by themselves. But the NFL kind of released everything, so we know the dates in May and June for all these dead take. But we don't know even if the players are going to be there. You know, I mean, it's so interesting, the time that we're in a way. Let's take, for example, tonight. Tonight at Truist Park, there are going to be 40,000 fans and a near sellout for the Braves and Phillies. First time we've had a full house in, since the Cardinals playoff game that we won't mention 19 months ago. We know that Mercedes-Benz Stadium is going to be set up for soccer for 40,000 fans and a full house on the 15th. The NFL is going to have full houses. College football going to have full houses. We're back to normal in a lot of aspects of life. My wife and I are going to go out to a restaurant tonight, Hugh, and we're going to sit in a restaurant without masks and eat steak.
Y'all going to go out without the masses? You ain't going no masses?
Well, not in the restaurant, no.
No, of course not, John. You're eating steak. You can't wear a mask with a steak on. With a steak.
Plus, we're fully vaccinated, so I'm not fully really worried
vaccinated,
about it. So we're back to normal, except in certain places where there's this, and one of those is... apparently is the NFLPA, which is saying, we're not so much, we still want to stay virtual, which, I sort of understand. I'm not arguing that point. But, boy, Hugh, we saw the setback for the rookies last year you know, say what you like about, oh, how they handle the virtual thing. Great. Well, no, it's not the same. It just cannot be the same.
It's not the same. I mean, but the game, I mean, it probably suffered, John, but to what extent? I mean, you know, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the game, like, people have been complaining about the game falling off for years. They've been complaining about, you know, the quality of the game on the field as diminished. That was one of the main reasons why the owners and everybody wanted to get a salary cap, an actual salary cap on the rookies, you know, because they didn't want it to get out of hand like it once did, because they felt like the talent wasn't what it once was. So, you know, that's why they did that. So, I mean, the game is still growing, you know. So, you know, you can say what you want about the quality of the product on the field. People are still watching.
I'm not. I guess I wasn't going there. I, by the way, I think your points are all valid to you. I was just saying that, you know, for a team like the Falcons that are counting on young guys to step in.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk about,
I know what you were talking about.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, we have to have these guys. We need 4 to 5 of the new guys, you know, these draft picks, step in and be either, well, we have to have them be starters. Let's just flat out say it. They got to be starters, and they got to be productive. I mean, Richie Grant's got to be a productive starter. Kyle Pitts has got to be a productive starter. They better be, I mean, considering, you know, where they were taken. But you're going to have other guys be productive starters too, including somebody like, you know, Jalen Mayfield at left guard, because we've tried the Matt Gano thing. We've tried everything else under the sun here. And when you've got a brand new, well, not brand new, but relatively brand new center, then you know, you've got a brand new guy that's only started, what, 2 games mm-hmm. in Hennessy, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to, you know, replacing Alex Mack and a brand new left guard. They got to get Hugh. They have to get on the same. It's one thing for a guy to be out on the edge and for him to put in hand into dirt. And I'm not diminishing what you did for a living. I'm saying it's a different sink.
No, I totally get what you're saying, John. But with that being said, I'll hand you A.J. Terrell and the season that he had. Now, granted, I don't know what he graded out as a young corner, but you can argue that he was one of the better corners that played in the game that was a rookie last year.
Oh, I think he was probably the best rookie
corner.
And
that's the example that I was thinking about when I was saying what I was saying, because he is a guy who did the Zoom classes. He was a part of that Zoom generation, the first Zoom generation, if you will. And he thrived, and I'm pretty sure there were some offensive linemen out there. Well, obviously there were some offensive linemen out there that kind of went through the same thing. So I'm saying that it can be done. It can be done, and the game hasn't diminished. That was the point that I was making. You know, even though it's tough, the NFL has found ways to get around it. And then, you know, they probably – you know, it's different from when I played. When I played, you know, you had those paper playbooks, you know, the actual playbooks. Now – you got PowerPoints and iPads and things. So it's a lot different. Like, if there's anything that you need to use or concepts that you need to understand as far as defensive or offensive concepts are concerned, that's a Zoom call away. Like, and you know what? To be honest, John, I think it might even be better, because it's like you're writing it down and you're seeing it on paper, and coaches give you the concepts. And I would even think that it may be even easier to actually do once you get out there on the field, because you understand a little bit better.
Maybe, but at the same time, everybody has a game plan until you get smacked in the mouth.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, no question. Okay. I mean, it all depends. It all depends on how you learn.
That reality hit you when all of a sudden you let it, okay, I know exactly what I'm going to do, and then it happens, and then, you know, you're
all
in practice against Julio Jones, and you're going, oh, okay, this is real.
Yeah, all of that, because it's still, you got to marry the two. You have to marry the book smarts with actually going out there and doing what your assignment point, you know, wants you to do. I mean, all of that. But still, I think it'll be a little bit easier. And you know, it's still it still has to come together. But I'm just talking about from an aspect of understanding what the defense is trying to do as a whole would probably be a little bit easier.
Well, we both know, and we've said this before. You remember the union. I've been watching this union, you know, since it was, you know, a long time. And it is a weak players union, and it's a weak players union because the majority of the members of the union happen to be on rookie contracts, you know, so because the majority of players are on rookie contracts, on first-time contracts. So as a result, they're trying to get everything they can, and the owners exploit that. And so when the NFLPA says, you know, hey, listen, you know, we don't really want you showing up here, they're trying to exert a little bit of thing, and it's up to each individual team, but we're already seeing some teams go, yeah, you know what, we got, like the Dolphins, we got so much going on here, and we have such high hopes that we don't care about what you're saying, we're showing up. And it'll be interesting to see how the Falcons handle this in terms of trying to get players, you know, for example, for rookie minicamp. The NFL puts it out there, says, okay, rookie minicamp is coming up next week, which it is, a week from today. And, you know, up to you. Do what you want, you know. And so is it going to be virtual or is it going to be on site? I don't know. I don't know how these teams like.
I mean, I know what you're saying, John, because they play on that how bad do you want it? We're trying to win a championship
right.
deal.
Kind
and
of,
that's basically what, especially when you talk about the Dolphins, that's probably what they're going to play on. Hey, man, we're trying to win a championship.
You know, we're trying to put yourself
in a position to win a championship. Yeah, I get it.
You have something else. You have something else this year with the Atlanta Falcons, which was what we thought was a long suit in our quiver last year. We kept saying, well, you know, it's good because the Falcons have this established coaching staff. Well, now you got a brand new coaching staff all across the board, new position coaches. I mean, forget about the rookies. We're talking about the veterans who've got to get used to, you know, brand new coaches everywhere and brand new, you know, everything, even if it's just a little minor tweak in the language that they speak and how they talk. I mean, that's stuff that's got to be learned and ingrained. We saw, you know, the growing pattern of, you know, Matt Ryan going through Kyle Shanahan the first year. Dan Quinn's first year was Kyle Shanahan's first year. In 2015, and it went so poorly, you know, from Matt Ryan's standpoint, that he and Kyle Shanahan had to get together after the season and have, like, spend a lot of time together to try to figure out, you know, how to communicate, because they weren't communicating that. Now, obviously, it worked in the second year. You went all the way to the big game. But the first year, it just didn't work at all, and I don't want to have that Matt Ryan growing pain here, because we got enough to worry about when we talk about the growing pains of the younger players, let alone Dave Ragone, Arthur Smith, and Matt Ryan not being on the same page.
Oh, man, that's going to happen, John. I know you don't want it to, because as a fan, you want everything to be as smooth as silk. Not going to be the case. Not going to be the case. I mean, it's going to be growing pain. Regardless, even if we had training camp, it's going to be growing pain. I know what you're saying. You're trying to diminish. I mean, you're not trying to diminish, but you're trying to minimize.
Mm-hmm.
as many of those growing pains as you possibly can. But it's always going to be something that crop up. It is. It's unfortunate when you have a new regime come in that is the case. But that's the case nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah, and the Ryan haters are out there. And look, listen, they can be the Ryan haters. It's fine. If you want to be a Ryan hater, I don't care. But the Ryan haters are out there going, you know, not only should you have taken a quarterback, look what Justin's going to do in Chicago, et cetera, but they're also saying this is going to be a disaster because it's going to take Ryan, like I just said, at least a season, and why are we, you know, hanging around with Noodle Arm? And, you know, and I'm trying to tell them.
Mr. Noodle.
I'm trying to tell them, hey, look, you know, you got to get this through, you know. Well, we'll get a quarterback next year. We'll get JT Day. And I'm like, guys, you know what? I got news for you. I think Matt Ryan's going to be the quarterback of this team. Until he retires,
yeah,
which
that would be that would be something, but yeah, he's gonna be here for a while. I mean, I said that he's gonna be here for a while.
I don't think they're taking a quarterback next year. I think it'll be the year after. I don't see unless it all falls apart this year and they end up going 5-12 and getting a top 4 or 5 pick again. I don't see them taking a quarterback this year either. I mean, it's just, you know, I think that's the way it's going to be. And you're going to say, well, you should have taken one back in the day. Okay, maybe. You know, that's what the Packers thought.
This is the thing, though, John.
Work out for them.
If you take a quarterback, you're not going to be in position to get one of the top-tier quarterbacks. I mean, you're not. I mean, that's what that was the whole draw for me at being at 4 was that you're in position. You're in position to get a top-tier quarterback next year. There's some serious conversation about job security, I think, that's being had. Like, if you're in position to draft a franchise quarterback next year, there's some serious conversation about did we hire the right dude.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to be the case.
Yeah, well, again, this will be something because we can't know how this year is going to transpire. Right now, I think the betting odds are the Falcons are an 8-9 or 9-8 team. They're a 500 club. Whatever amounts to 500 anymore because of 17 games. But they're a 500 club, and you know, depending if they get a few breaks and stay healthy versus if they don't get a few breaks and don't stay healthy, you know, you're anywhere from, you know, 6 wins to 11 wins. And how it all plays out. All right, speaking of quarterbacks and legacies and all that kind of stuff, you know, Aaron Rodgers, keep this in mind about Aaron Rodgers. For all of you who wanted to, hey, can we trade Matt Ryan for Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers is 3 years older than Matt Ryan, okay? He's 3 years older. So let's discuss this a little bit. We're asking on Twitter. I know there's cheeseheads out there. Is the quarterbacking situation in Green Bay in jeopardy? We'll take your calls, too. 404-741-0929. What about the legacy of Aaron Rodgers? Is it being tainted by all this or no? With John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Conyers. It's Andy Bunker here from the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Thanks for listening to us every weekday from 10 to 2 on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 90.9 The Game. It is the story that has dominated the headlines in sports for the last week or so, and that is the situation surrounding Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Your calls at 404-741-0929. We'll get to those in just a moment. Hugh, for my daughter, God love her, Danielle, Danny, who does work for Atlanta United and for big marketing company called Van Wagner. You know, she is chip off her mom's block. She is a cheesehead, big time cheesehead. I had to take her to Lambeau Field. She's like, Dad, you got to take me to Lambeau Field. So I took her to Lambeau Field year before last. You know, first time I'd ever been to Lambeau Field. I absolutely loved it.
It's different. It's like the location. It's like you're driving it, and it's like you're in a neighborhood, nice neighborhood. Boom, stadium. Oh, wow. It's like, wow. It's like, boom, stadium.
No, it is different. It's a different. It's a small town. It's different. It is, but it's got a great vibe. You know, the fans are into it. You know why I loved it? It's because it's college football, even though it's an NFL game.
Yeah, it's a college, and everybody, like, the one thing that I remember about Lambeau, because I only went one time, and it was, I remember, John, the people, we were doing walkthroughs, this is when you used to do walkthroughs in the NFL, and the people were walking around the stadium watching us walk through, and I was like, wow, I mean, because it's the people's stadium, so they went in, and they went to the stadium whenever they got ready, so they were just in there on a Saturday, and they were watching us do our walkthroughs.
And that's what makes the Packers unique in another sense. They began as the Acme Packing Company, Acme Packers, and now the Green Bay Packers, is that they do not have an owner. And so since they don't have an owner, they are a team that is run by a board and, you know, is owned by the public. My daughter has one share of Packers stock, so she's a stockholder. And I don't know what the rule is. I think you have to be born in Wisconsin or something. I don't know. I have no idea what it is. But she's got a share anyway. And so it's different. And so in this debacle here, one of the questions that we thought we'd ask is, you know, kind of who do you blame here more for the current debacle? Do you blame the team or do you blame Aaron Rodgers? I mean, I know that there's blame to go around for everybody for this to be, you know, such a talking point, Hugh, but who do you blame more? And I, you know, I got to tell you, I sort of blame the team more in this.
The team is the team, John. It's a business. And I think that's what people tend to forget a lot of times is that these teams are businesses. And they ran like businesses. I think that, you know, we're loyal. Like, we expect the team to be as loyal as we are. And that's not always the case because you're like, oh, don't you want to win? Listen, winning is a part of playing in the NFL, but the NFL is also a business. And I think a lot of times it's hard for people to separate the two. I really, really do. And with that being said, you know, Green Bay has benefited tremendously over the years of not having an issue at the quarterback spot, right? They haven't. They have benefited tremendously.
32 years of two guys.
So – From a business standpoint, if that model has been working for you, and you draft, like, because Aaron Rodgers fell in your lap, You know, he was the guy that people remember on draft day, that a lot of people, he was sitting there. He was, you know, the guy that they had the camera in his face, couldn't believe he dropped that far, yada, yada, yada. So he came in with a chip on his shoulder. And he had to sit behind Brett Favre for a couple years. So they looked at it like, okay, we're going to get Jordan Love and do the same thing, you know. And, you know, he got upset about it. Now, the reason why this has become a story, which came out yesterday, was that a lot of this has not been what Aaron Rodgers didn't come out and tell anybody this. Somebody put the pieces together. And this is how this story came about. But this is the thing, John. Aaron Rodgers hasn't denied it. He has not denied any of it. You know, when you know you hear the sound bites of what Adam Schefter said about putting two and two together and surmising what happened during all of this and everything, this is what he came up with. You know, people give it Adam Schefter heat for making up a story. And I'm looking at it like he didn't make it up. He obviously didn't make it up because nobody came back and said it wasn't true. You know what I mean? He just did what journalists do. He put the pieces together and came up with this, and now everybody's running with it. So it's one of those things where I look at it like Aaron wanted it out there. He feels some kind of way. It's just unfortunate how everything kind of came about. And now he's looked at, you know, he's looked at kind of shade. Everybody kind of looking at him with the side eye.
Your calls here, just a second here. First, before we get to the phones here, the future host of Jeopardy, Mr. Shailene Woodley, is on Dan Patrick's show, and he says this about all this mess. Oh, it was Schefter who was on Dan Patrick. All right. I mean, Adam Schefter, pardon me.
Yeah.
Was on Dan Patrick and talked about that because Schefter released it on draft day. Yeah, that's right. Pardon me. This is Adam Schefter.
Did you get a phone call or text?
You know, Dan, the funny part about it is that I've heard people say, oh, Aaron Rodgers wanted that out before the draft. Mm-hmm. I can assure you Aaron Rodgers did not want that out before the draft. I've had people say the Green Bay Packers planted that. It was a very pro-Packer story.
Yeah,
I can assure you the Green Bay Packers didn't plant that. When people guess at where stories come from, more often than not, they're usually wrong. And in this case, they're wrong. This was an accumulation all during the offseason of just listening to people talk and observing. And I said, how long till it gets out that Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay? Is it next week? Is it next when he doesn't show to the OTAs? Is it next month when he isn't? It's going to come out. What does it matter if it comes out now or next week or next month?
So you chose to break the news on draft day.
That is absolutely accurate. Correct.
But it wasn't something that you got information about.
No, and there was nothing that morning that came in.
Okay.
All of a sudden said to me, yeah, he wants out. You should report this. Like, it was going on all off season. You just keep hearing it. And there was more and more talk. And now they're starting to be Aaron Rodgers talking. I said, you know what? This isn't going to wait much longer. Let's just go. And it just happened to be draft day.
Yeah, it just happened to be draft day. We blew up and stole thunder from everybody else. And, yeah, you know, that, this that, and that.
So that was Shefty. Like, Shefty did that. And like,
it happened to be draft day.
And if you listen, if you had a chance to listen to more of that cut, Dan Patrick has so much more that he wants to say, but out of respect for the relationship of journalism, he didn't say it. He didn't say it, John. I mean, and then, you know, if you look at the some of the comments on Twitter that people had, people were talking about this is bad journalism and stuff like that. I say to them this. Aaron Rodgers has not denied the story. The story's been out for a week. There has been no retraction. There has been nobody coming out saying that it ain't true or anything like that. So I look at it like this. How mad can you be at Adam Schefter for being right? I mean, he was dead wrong. Like, he speculated. No question about that. I mean, if you want to play semantics, he speculated. He threw the story out there. Nobody has said he was wrong, to my knowledge. Not this morning. Like, if we look at through the paper, Aaron Rodgers has not come out and said that he was wrong. As a matter of fact, the stories are coming out now how Aaron Rodgers doesn't like the GM. So really and truly, how mad can you be at Adam Schefter? It made me think of a story, and I don't know if I ever told this on the air. And I had to call a friend of mine because we couldn't remember the exact story. But I asked him about the time that Adam Schefter wanted to run with a story about Donovan McNabb. Again, I don't remember the exact details. And the friend of mine told me, said, I don't remember that, But I do remember Adam sitting in my office for hours, you know, talking. And I just kind of left it at that because I was like, this eerily reminds me of that scenario. So, I mean, it's just funny how, like, journalism, like, you know, you go to school to be a good journalist and you're always told to vet your sources. Like, say, shout out to my man D-Led, the OG. Like, he vets his sources. You ain't got to do that no more. Not with a story. You just throw it out there and people believe it. And luckily for Adam, it sounds like, you know, he went through all the proper channels and the people above him said, hey, you run with it. We got your back. And he was right. He was wrong, but he was right. You know, he didn't get it from anybody. He put the pieces together. So, yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, you could be mad at Adam for you know, bad journalism, but you also got to be mad at Aaron Rodgers because he didn't deny it. I mean, it must be some truth to it because he's okay with it.
Is Rodgers' legacy being damaged here by all this? Smitty's in Riverdale. He's on with John and Hugh. Smitty, welcome to the show.
Smitty.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. Aaron Rodgers' legacy is already sealed. Hall of Fame, 3 MVPs, 1 Super Bowl.
Definitely.
Everything from this point on is a bonus, man. And one thing right quick, Green Bay has to change the way they do things. Tradition is one thing, but catching up with the times is another. That man led a horrific defense to an NFC Championship game against the Atlanta Falcons they had no business being in. And you can't get that man proper help on offense or defense at the same time. It just got to change, man. Time brings change, and it's time for them to catch up with the times, and that's all I have to say.
That's Smitty in Riverdale. Well, remember, let's not forget that the Super Bowl run, the Falcons beat the Packers, right, in the NFC title game. That was a Packers team, Hugh, that had gone to Dallas. Remember, the Falcons were the number 2 seed. Mm-hmm. Dallas was the number 1 seed. The Packers went into Dallas as like 15-point underdog, beat the Cowboys.
Yeah, but, I mean, some people argue that even though Aaron has been complaining about the help that he's had, that he's had some pretty good offensive weapons around.
Oh, yeah, Devontae Adams is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron Jones is pretty good. Yeah, no, I mean, he's had some pretty good. But, again, I think it's more about the fact that when you drafted Jordan Love, you could have drafted XYZ, another receiver, and he would thinks he might have had another Super Bowl because he'd been close. You know, I mean, say what you like. It's not like the Packers have ever. When was the last time the Packers had a bad year? I mean.
And that's probably why they didn't draft anybody.
Yeah, right? More of your calls, Gary and everybody, hang on. We want to talk a little bit about this because Hugh's got more to say, too. Next, as we talk about the legacy of Aaron Rodgers, what the hell's going on in Green Bay? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.